Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Welcome back in, hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. And as we are every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock, we're joined by our friend Caroline Fenton, host of Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline, good morning. How are you?
No need to be intimidated. I am only 5'2". So... that's good. Any taller might get a little hairy.
Well, that's why. Yeah, keep it on Zoom. We could, if you came in the studio,
are we ruling out a late growth spurt from Caroline Fenton that could really change the equation here?
Right.
Never rule that out. And I could walk into a room and it would be like a King Kong reaction, like all of the people in the land are screaming and terrified at how big and scary I am. Me and Mike Vrabel.
So what do you make of that, that apparently a general manager mentioned to Diana Rossini at the Senior Bowl that maybe potentially one of the reasons Vrabel's not finding himself a job is that his physical presence a little bit too big, and that turns people off a little bit?
Like, truly the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. And part of me has to think that somebody went up to Diana, and before he went up to her, he or she... they turned to their buddies and said, look, I'm going to say the most ridiculous thing ever and see if Diana like takes that as the truth. Like they're playing a prank on her or something, on poor Diana. Like that is the only rational explanation that I have for that, that somebody was playing a prank. This is football. There's not a whole lot of skinny minis floating around there. Like maybe Brian Callahan needs to make it a point to skip a few meals just to stay rather slender.
Yeah.
And unintimidating.
This is a funny topic. I love this. But like the intimidation thing with Vrabel is real.
It's not because of his size.
No, that's way down the list. But it's the whole package of him is glowering, massive. You've been in those pressers with him, right? Like there are some people that I can see, you know, this is one of those things that gets isolated from the whole conversation, which is his intimidating presence. And yes, if anybody...
but that's what the GM said, the size. It's a ridiculous comment.
Right. But again, I'm not saying it's not, especially if you isolate it. If you take it away from we know his personality. He's this overwhelming personality. And yeah, he's 6'5", 260.
Yeah.
It is a weird human nature thing, but like I get it to a point. If you're saying
but, like,
only
if
his size...
more games, Would you call him overly intimidating? Like so intimidating that we couldn't hire him? That's the thing. Is to me, it sounds like a pathetic excuse to say, "Yeah, he's just too intimidating for us." Well, if you won games, we didn't care how intimidating he was.
No,
we didn't care how tall he is.
Yeah, I don't know what the conversation was. I assume it's like she's asking people, like, why wasn't he hired? But I think that absolutely there's something to his personality, right? I mean, the Belichick thing too. We've talked about, right? So then some GM's like, and he's a big guy too. And so now let's take that out and, you know, have fun with it. It's fine.
I just, you know, like if you think he's an ass, then just say that.
Hey,
I think some people do.
Like, that's what it comes down to is maybe he's just not a very likable guy.
Caroline, what do you make of the Super Bowl matchup coming up on Sunday? San Francisco, Kansas City. Kansas City going for Super Bowl number 3 under Patrick Mahomes. Are you sensing some Kansas City Chiefs fatigue from the general public?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And I did see a tweet, and it went back to, I guess, was it the 2018 or I believe it was 2018 AFC Championship game, and it was a map of who everyone in America is cheering for, and the entire map, except for the itty-bitty area of New England, was completely red. Like, everybody wanted the Chiefs to win. Everybody wanted to knock the Patriots off their high horse. Fast forward to this year's AFC Championship game, Ravens-Chiefs, and the whole map was purple except for the state of Missouri. So that really does kind of show you where we've gone in the last few years, that the Chiefs at the beginning were like the breath of fresh air, and now everyone is sick and tired of the Chiefs. And I do understand the sentiment of, well, how can you have Chiefs fatigue when the Patriots were so dominant for so long? And yeah, the Chiefs have been dominant for the last, you know, 5-6 years, but it doesn't even scratch the surface of what the Patriots did. I do think that there is an overly sensitive sentiment of dynasties now in football and sports in general, just because the Patriots had a reign for so long. Alabama had a reign for so long that now that it looks like, if it looks like there's a team that could be that next Patriots team, like Georgia, they won 2 national championships. I still think people have Georgia fatigue just because we're so sensitive to the dynasties. And if it's not your team, and now it's like, okay, well, Alabama's finally out of the way. Now we got to deal with Georgia. All right, well, New England and Tom Brady, they're finally out of the way. Well, now we got to deal with Kansas City. That I think fatigue for a certain team is so much, we're so much more sensitive now as a sports society, and it happens so much quicker that you could win 2 Super Bowls or you could get back to the AFC Championship game twice in 3 years, and all of a sudden everyone's sick and tired of you.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I feel like likability is part of it too, or lack thereof. Like, I feel like Belichick, I mean, Kirby's not all that likable, right? Saban sort of transformed into this weirdly likable, which is very strange to see. But
and I do think maybe the Patrick Mahomes likability scale has gone down a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe not because of him, but because of his wife, his brother, and Taylor Swift.
So we're poor Taylor. Poor Taylor is also affecting Mahomes' likability. Huh? Yeah, I think there is something to him. I
think it's association with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I still like Patrick Mahomes. But also Andy Reid's likability to me is good, you know, so it should offset a little bit, but I'm with you. I mean, I think that just anybody who anytime a team wins a ton like this, there's gonna be and then you bring in Taylor Swift and all hell breaks loose. What do you think is gonna happen Sunday?
I think the Chiefs are gonna win. I have a really hard time picking against the Chiefs because every time I have picked against the Chiefs, like, I thought the Ravens were going to roll the Chiefs. Learned my lesson. I also think it's fascinating that for the second year in a row, to a certain extent, we have, you know, last year it was the Eagles and the Chiefs. Last year it was elite quarterback Patrick Mahomes against a more stacked Eagles team. Like, yeah, Jalen Hurts was probably playing close to an elite level last year, but I don't think any of us, or at least I, didn't view Jalen Hurts as an elite quarterback, a good quarterback that was elevated by the pieces around him. Fast forward to this year, we're getting the same kind of thing. Elite quarterback that has even fewer pieces around him than he did last year. And then a Brock Purdy, who I don't think any of us view as elite, but is elevated by the pieces around him. I can't pick against the elite quarterback. But I do think that maybe the messaging on quarterbacks or the way that we view how to win a Super Bowl could be, or if you could shift if Brock Purdy and the 49ers take down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting matchup. I'm looking forward to it. I do think, Caroline, there's some pressure on Kyle Shanahan in this game too. I mean, they've been knocking at the door for a while, which I think is a testament to him and the roster that they've built. But like at some point, if you're him, you got to knock that door down, don't you?
It's a fair point where, you know, you're always a bridesmaid, never a bride. You know, can constantly get back into the NFC Championship game, get back into Super Bowls. But if you don't, you know, ultimately win it, then, you know, what are you? But I think we all will still view Kyle Shanahan as one of the best coaches in the National Football League. I mean, you look at least the Titans and a lot of the models that NFL teams have tried to follow over the last couple of years is getting a little piece of the Shanahan-McVay tree.
Oh, yeah.
Getting someone that runs the Shanahan system. So I do think that to a certain extent, you know, you got to win one to be able to be in the conversation with some of the best coaches in the NFL. But at least my perception of Kyle Shanahan doesn't change just if you're not able to win one. I think it's more so the narrative of the quarterback, that if you don't have the Mahomes, if you don't have the Burrow, it's a lot more difficult to win one. Of course, Sean McVay kind of changed up that conversation a few years ago, but I think that we viewed Matthew Stafford in a higher regard than maybe we viewed Brock Purdy or even Jalen Hurts last year.
Caroline Fenton, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. Caroline, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll be listening at 11 o'clock.
Appreciate y'all as always. Chat next week.
Absolutely. Caroline, our guest, joins us every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. We'll react to what Caroline had to say. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, that's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care and the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Thanks to Caroline Fenton for being with us in the last segment. Appreciate her perspective as always. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Joe in Spring Hill. Joe, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks so much for taking the call. I do have to agree that Kyle Shanahan's one of the great, you know, coaches in the game today. But you got to remember, if he doesn't win this big one, let's look at the objective data. He was the architect of the offense of the Atlanta Falcons, who gave up a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. Gave up a 17-7 lead to the Rams in the fourth quarter in an NFC title game until you do it. And remember what the perception of Andy Reid was before he won his Super Bowl. I take up guys like Tony Dungy before he finally got over the hump. He was one of the more brilliant defensive minds in the history of the game. The architect of the cover two defense. But yet until he won the big one, he was in a different category. And the way the league is trending now, I mean, let's face it. I'm a Patriots fan. We had no problem letting the greatest coach of all time go because it's an offensive league now. I think the Titans hire was genius. Amy Adams did the right thing, brought in a guy, and I almost equate the Callahan hire like bringing in a Lane Kiffin type thing. Like, you're going to get his dad as well, who probably has, like, you know, 40 years of, you know, coaching knowledge under his belt that he's going to bring, you know, just to the table for, like, you know, because he wants to do it. But the bottom line is the way the league's trending now, you have to have offensive-minded coaches, guys like Belichick, Dunn. And can we just say it? Enough with all you Tomlin apologists. What has this guy done? He's won one divisional playoff game in the last 10 years. Oh, he's never had a losing season like singing his props. I mean, guys, enough already with the Mike Tomlin apologists. Just had it. But
thanks for the call, Joe.
A great take on that. Guys, have a great day.
You too. There's a lot to get to there from Joe.
He got a lot in and very impressive from inside a Pringles bottle, too. How did he get all those takes out?
I'll trust you. I got one functioning earphone over here, so I couldn't tell.
Oh, you couldn't get that wind tunnel?
Yeah, get the full effect.
Yeah, I got both ears going. Sorry, man. Sorry for your trouble.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have to buy our own equipment. First of all, there was a lot to get to there. We talked about the Shanahan-Reed thing.
For sure. Yeah.
I totally agree. Like, if they lose, then he will start to become the new Andy Reid, which is great coach, offensive genius, but can't win the big one.
Yeah.
Also, though, but to push back on Joe and the Pringle bottle, is that a bottle? They call them
it's
bottles?
A can.
A canister, I guess, right? Pringles canister. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, remember, as we've talked about, offensive league, all this stuff, five of the eight coaches are defensive coaches. Yeah. Five of the eight coaches hire defensive coaches, which, again, if you just told me that factoid right after Vrabel was fired, then absolutely 100% I'm saying, of course, Vrabel is one of them.
Well, look, I think there's significant pressure on the 49ers in this game. I really do. And – from the Shanahan perspective, like if they lose, it's not like he's on the hot seat or anything like that. Everybody, I think, can see that Kyle Shanahan is a really good coach. At some point, Joe, they're not going to have the best roster in the league. You can make an argument they've had either the best roster or right there among the best roster for the last 3, 4, 5 years. And some of that has been derailed by injury. I mean, they went through a season where – like Jimmy G got hurt and they were piecing together starting quarterbacks. But they've had a great offensive line for like 5 years. They brought in Christian McCaffrey last year. George Kittle's been a stud for a long time. They've had a really good defense for a long time. Like at some point, you're not going to have all that. And you've got to find a way to capitalize on this window here. So, I mean, it speaks well to him that they're in the conversation seemingly every year. And they've been to conference championships. They've been to another Super Bowl, and they lost to Kansas City where they had an opportunity to win that game. But I think that there's a pretty significant amount of pressure on them to close this out and get it done.
There is. Now, look, I don't know if their personnel situation isn't sustainable. I mean, obviously they've drafted extremely well. They've had, the D-line. Their linebackers are the best in the league. Like you said, the O-line is really good. You got fantastic. And then you make a trade for McCaffrey, and that's just been brilliant. So,
but Trent Williams is – he's not getting any younger, right? He's 35 years old.
Sure.
He's best left tackle in football, and he's not going to be around forever.
For sure. I mean, you got to like the Rams, why were the Rams in the playoffs and right there to win a playoff game in Detroit? Because, they had a great draft. Not just that, but it totally – flipped it back their way with one great draft. So, you have to keep drafting well. So, I mean, the Niners' track record is pretty good. And even, when Rand Carthon was hired, that was a lot of the talk, right? Some of their late-round success. If that's, if that's going to keep up, then they can stay good. But, this does seem like a window right now. And I think it's Shanahan. I think most owners in this league would sign up to have Kyle Shanahan as their coach and give him final say on personnel and be very happy with it. But there's still – it'll be a narrative for him. It may be more than that for Brock Purdy if they lose this game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then on the flip side, if Kansas City wins, you're talking about three championships already for Patrick Mahomes. And then it starts to get into – and I think we're kind of already there, but it'll solidify it even more – you'll start talking about Patrick Mahomes of, where exactly does he rank on the greatest football players / greatest quarterbacks that we've ever seen list. And I think people are going a little bit crazy right now with the, he's better than Brady. I mean, Brady did it for 20 years, so there is something to be said for that. But he wins another one, and you factor in what we talked about yesterday. He's been in the AFC title game every year of his career so far that he's been a starter. It's pretty wild to think about. And if he wins his third championship, then you start to talk about, so there's Brady and there's Mahomes and there's Manning. He's already in that category.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he'd be on the same – pace for rings, as Brady. Here's an interesting stat that Scott Kazmaier put out there. He's played 17 playoff games, which I guess now is a season because of the stupid NFL adding a 17th game. But most passing yards through 17 playoff games. Patrick Mahomes at third with 4,800 yards. Drew Brees first, 5,200. So it's Brees, 5,200. Manning, 4,831. Mahomes, 4,802. Tom Brady, ninth, 39-54. So he's 1,000 yards behind him in 17 play games, which tells you that is some of the difference. And again, I'm with you. Like, I can't sit here and say GOAT for Mahomes. But the Chiefs have been more Mahomes-reliant in this run than the Pats were on Brady in their early days. And that people don't want to remember that. Forget, you know, Stilley thinks Brady completed every pass that he ever threw. And he was great. He led the late drives to the field goals. So, but they were a great defensive team. And it started there for the Patriots. Whereas this is the first Chiefs team, to me, where a lot of this season has been led by their defense.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the most intriguing matchup of the game Sunday is the Chiefs defense against that San Francisco offense. Because, I mean, look, Patrick Mahomes was great and made some great throws. And the throw he made to MVS to close out the game against Baltimore was ridiculous. But they didn't do anything in the second half offensively. Like, they got shut down in the second half offensively by the Baltimore defense. And their defense just came up big. And can Kansas City's defense come up big against that offense with not, you know, the Purdy part of this is obviously important. But, I mean, the thing about San Francisco that kills you is McCaffrey and Kittle and Ayuk, Debo. They just got so many different weapons to get the ball to. So can Kansas City keep up with that? That's going to be the most intriguing matchup of the game to me.
Yeah, it's like, so it's strength versus strength when it comes to Chiefs D, Niners O. That's the main attraction. You know, the other side is like the Chiefs offense has finally showing some life.
Yeah.
It's been a disappointment this year, whereas the Niners defense has actually been really disappointing, you know, of late. I mean, they got, you know, made some big plays against the Lions and Packers, but for the most part, the Lions and Packers went up and down the field on those guys.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We got more of your thoughts to get to on our phone and text lines. We'll do that coming up next. The Rob Rant at 745. Jason Lloyd from The Athletic will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Bill Callahan hiring from the Cleveland Browns to the Tennessee Titans. At that front, looking forward to that conversation with him. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. I got some wristbands to give away, a four-pack of wristbands to the National Wild Turkey Federation Convention coming up at Opryland February 14th through the 18th. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a four-pack of wristbands to the National Wild Turkey Federation Convention coming up at Opryland February 14th through the 18th. I'll be out there as well. It's a fun event. I'm looking forward to
it. Nice.
So your wristband will get you free access to see me, which I know is just very enticing.
That's worth it alone.
Yes, very enticing out there. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Chip from Mount Juliet on the text line, talking about Mahomes, says, the true test will be after Reed retires with Mahomes' legacy. Will Mahomes continue to win without Andy Reed? There are some, Joe, that think, and I don't know that I put myself in this category or not, there are some that think if they win Sunday that Andy Reid could retire after the game, that they could he could just ride out with another Super Bowl win, his third one in Kansas City, and that could be it at age 65.
I thought that – has he not blown that up and said he's definitely not retiring? Am I wrong
about
that?
I believe that he has, but there are some that still believe that could be the case.
As for Chip, look, Andy Reid's a really great coach, without question. I mean, if you've been watching the last few years of Patrick Mahomes and you think it's more Reed making Mahomes look good than Mahomes making Reed look good, man, I'm sorry. I cannot get behind that at all. I think they work great together. Reed is, you know, fantastic creative offense. He's had different OCs, but, you know, it's his offense. But Patrick Mahomes has done so many things on his own that are absolutely absurd,
yeah,
that every coach would be like, yeah, good coaching, but be joking about it, right? I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he's going to continue to be a great player after Andy Reid retires.
He will, and it's similar to me. You know, I had this thought, you know, in the heyday of Brady, especially in the heyday in the AFC of Brady and Manning together,
yeah,
right?
Well, let's talk about the Brady-Belichick thing, but go ahead.
But I'm just saying, like, Brady and Manning together, like, I've always wondered – how many otherwise, like, either great quarterbacks or quarterbacks that were good enough to win Super Bowls? And I, like, Philip Rivers comes to mind. you know, Andrew Luck comes to mind. How many times, how many quarterbacks got derailed just because they had to go through Brady and Manning every year? Like, if you're the Titans, like, Mahomes isn't going anywhere. Burrow's not going anywhere. Like, you got to go through those guys if you're going to ultimately get to, with Brian Callahan, where you want to get to, and that is competing for a championship and winning a Super Bowl. I mean, and it's not just your division that you're having to compete with. Like, it's those guys. Like, for forever, people in the AFC, it was, it felt like it was either Brady in the Super Bowl or Manning in the Super Bowl, like, every year. And, it, of course, it wasn't every year, but for the most part, it was. Like, Brady and Manning were dominant. And is it going to be like that with Mahomes and a Burrow, Mahomes and, I don't know, somebody else? Like, does Justin Herbert get hot? But, like, you got to find a way. Like, Mahomes isn't going anywhere. You got to find a way to get through him if you're the Titans.
Right. Like, you know, like, when Caroline was on, she talked about, you know, like, maybe the narrative changes a little bit if the Niners win. I mean, I to me, like, as we've talked about, it wasn't that long ago that Nick Foles won a Super Bowl and beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Like, that was 5 years ago. So, you know, or I'm sorry, I guess it was 6 years ago. So, you know, I mean, you can do it the other way. It's less likely. You'd much rather have the you know, the generational QB, but most teams won't have it. And you can still win it. You can certainly get there without that. But you're right. And Mahomes, so basically, so Mahomes has lost to Burrow, and he's lost to Brady.
Yeah.
Those are the two quarterbacks who have beat him since he has taken over as the – and, yes, I know it was an older Brady. It was a game in which Patrick Mahomes had 0.3 of a second every time he took a pass. But still,
he lost to Brady,
it's still
twice.
Brady.
He lost to Brady his first AFC title game in his first year as a starter, and then in the Super Bowl with Tampa.
That Chris Jones roughing call. Yeah. Ooh, baby. But, yes, so that's all. So far, that's the only – so. But if Brock Purdy wins Sunday, then there's the first time that a non-elite QB has beaten Mahomes. But to your point – even if that's the case, great. He'll be back next year and the year after that and the year after that. And Burrow's going to be around and Josh Allen's going to be around. And I know Lamar Jackson, we're back down on him, but he's going to be around too. And he's pretty good.
Well, and if you're Levis or Brian Callahan and the Titans, you got to find a way to put your name in the mix of all that, right? I mean, that's the hard part. I mean, look, I'm convinced. Like, Phillip Rivers, I think, is a good example. Like, Phillip Rivers, to me – go look at some of his numbers. He was absolutely good enough to win a Super Bowl. But he never could because every time he made the playoffs, he was running into Brady or Manning.
Now, he also – he had some bad mistakes.
Look, there were some Phillip Rivers death picks.
Yes.
There's no question about that. But he was good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like Phillip Rivers, you know, obviously the whole – you think of Eli Manning, you think of, like, the Chargers and all that stuff. I mean, I think Phillip Rivers was definitely a better quarterback than Eli Manning, but Eli Manning's got the two rings.
Exactly. You know, and – I don't know who that second quarterback is going to be, right, in the AFC. I mean, it's been Mahomes. I think Burrow is probably the number one option, but they've not won a Super Bowl yet either. You know, they've been to one. But, like, there's so many good quarterbacks right now in this conference that are all chasing Mahomes. It's like, if you're Will Levis and the Titans, can you add your name to that mix? And that's what we don't know yet. Like, Will Levis, we talked about it yesterday. There's a lot to like about what we've seen. But can you – at the end of this next season, and I think some people are probably already putting C.J. Stroud there. I need to see it again for another year. But at the end of this next season, do you get to the end of it and you think to yourself, okay, the Titans have their quarterback. We don't know everything about the Titans. We don't know that they figured out all the issues that they have, but we know that they figured out quarterback. Can you get to that point by the end of next season where you feel great about your quarterback moving forward with you and that he's going to be a factor in the AFC for the next decade?
Yeah, that'd be big. But if you're a Titans fan and you're asking the question of, like, can Will Levis be as great, can be on that top line with Mahomes and all those guys? Obviously, you hope so. But, you know, if you're waiting for him to be a Patrick Mahomes or anybody to be, it's hard to find hope. That's why it's a team sport.
Right. You know? And I don't think you have to be Mahomes. I do think you have to be. Like, if you're going to have sustained excellence, you don't have to be Mahomes, but you got to be probably a notch below, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're going to be that.
Tier two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can he be tier two?
Yeah.
I mean, he can be. And maybe by the end of next year, we know he's not the answer. I mean, I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised if that is how it turns out because I just can't believe with his talent and his – competitiveness and all that, that it's just going to flame out next year. But we're going to know a lot more for sure by next year, one way or the other.
LD from McMinnville on the text line says, I don't think you guys have discussed enough about the Titans' new DC. For years, I've wished for a defense like the Ravens. If the Titans can get remotely close to that, fans should be happy. This is from LD from McMinnville, talking about Denard Wilson coming over from the Baltimore Ravens. We'll see. I mean, that still comes down a lot to personnel and what you do there. But certainly, you know, we talked about it when he was hired. I think the track record is good, and there's a lot to like there from Denard Wilson from a DC standpoint. And, you know, anytime you've been around Greg Williams and you've been influenced by him, it could be pretty interesting out there.
Well, it's interesting that, LD, you're taking this to, like, the Ravens defense. I mean, he was there for 1 year as DB coach.
Exactly.
You know, when Vrabel was hired, that was the Ravens defense coming in. Dean Pease came in, right? I mean, but there's also, like, there's just something about the Ravens, and I guess it's kind of true of the Steelers, too. Different coordinators, changes in scheme, changes in personnel, but still, like, a core toughness that has kind of prevailed. Now, it's amazing what the Ravens have done through all these different DCs. I have to think that that's, you know, John Harbaugh, yep. Right? Like, it has to be – I mean, he's the constant, so it has to be some attributed to him. But just 1 year in that franchise for Denard Wilson. So I don't know – like, I don't know how much it's going to be, quote-unquote, like the Ravens defense.
Well, the thing – I said this when he was hired. The thing that stands out to me about him – you know, the Greg Williams background, also Todd Bowles' background, they blitz a lot. They're very aggressive with what they do. And I think aggression when I think Denard Wilson. And, again, you got to have the right personnel in order to execute that. Otherwise, you're just going to get torched. But
right,
the idea of a super aggressive defense excites me. Could be fun.
It sounds fun.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you
– it's like, oh, that ball went 45 yards over his head.
Yeah, or when you're Lions and you blitz everybody and a little
Brian,
screen scores.
Trey Avery, did you see him in coverage over there?
Denard, what about Trey Avery on that play?
Trey Avery is 9 yards behind the receiver when they threw the ball over there. Did you see that?
Poor John Glennon.
I'll never let that go.
I know we've given him a little of downtime, but we'll always come back to it. We'll always have that.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Our buddy Stilly had a wild one yesterday. We'll get into that coming up next.
Boy.
This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
It's the rant wheel is what they call it.
Here I thought I said another like obscene thing that I didn't mean to say.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning on the program. The Rex Rant or the Rob Rant. I guess Keezer's just totally abandoned it, which is fine.
Abandoned what?
No rants for Keezer.
Yeah. Yeah. When's your rant? You're welcome to rant whenever you want, man.
I don't really get angry that much.
I don't know.
Unless Kuharski's wandering around.
I was going to say, PK's coming tomorrow.
I can save one for
fired
it.
Up.
Yeah. Maybe that's what you should do is do a rant while he's here. I think that would be good.
We can't scheme and he knows.
It's true. It's got to be by surprise.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just put it off. You know,
at
one
some
of these
point,
weeks. Yeah,
at some point,
ambush him with
my
the
first
rant.
One was awful. That was when Robbie was on leave when Allison was born, and I ranted about the grocery store. Do you not remember that, Joe?
There's nothing wrong with that rant. Huh? Don't be so hard on yourself.
It could have been better for sure.
No, don't listen to the text.
We can always
line.
Be better, Keezer.
I didn't listen to anybody. I just didn't think I did well.
Oh, okay. I'm not saying the text line ripped you. I've just assumed
it's always. There's always a chance for redemption.
I like that
there
rant.
There is.
It's a good rant.
Go ahead, Robbie.
Nick's done talking.
You don't want to talk anymore?
He's done talking.
Yeah, he doesn't
Robbie? All right. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Robbie. I got a book to read. Go ahead.
So I believe our friend Stilly, probably if we ranked like the rants of the most popular topic, he's probably at or near the top of the list. I will say one of the things that I admire the most / sometimes scares me the most about our friend Stilly is his ability to take a comment, really any comment, and weave his own thought process into it. And we had another shining example of this, Joe, again yesterday. So as we know, Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com caught up with Peyton Manning at the Pro Bowl this past week. And he talked with Peyton Manning about Brian Callahan and his background. And obviously there's a connection there. Brian Callahan worked with Peyton Manning in Denver. And Peyton Manning's a big fan of Brian Callahan. We established that when Callahan was hired. And Peyton Manning also talked with Jim Wyatt about Derrick Henry. I want to read to you the quote that Peyton Manning told Jim Wyatt at TennesseeTitans.com. Quote, Brian Callahan would love Derrick Henry and vice versa. There's obviously the business side that comes into play, and that's up for Rand Carthon and his staff to decide. But Brian Callahan appreciates a good running game. His dad, Bill, is coming over to the Titans, and his dad is the best line coach in the NFL. I know he appreciates a good back. Tennessee would be a great place for Derrick to continue to play, in my opinion. That was the quote from Peyton Manning to Jim Wyatt about Derrick Henry.
Okay.
So Jared reads this yesterday on the air and then goes through like the connection between Peyton Manning and Brian Callahan. And basically the conclusion that he draws at the end of it is Brian Callahan absolutely wants Derrick Henry back to be the running back for the Tennessee Titans, and that Peyton Manning is serving as the intermediary from Brian Callahan to Peyton Manning or to Derrick Henry via the media, and that these comments from Peyton Manning are really coming from Brian Callahan because he's sure that Peyton Manning and Brian Callahan have talked and that Callahan wants Derrick Henry back. So we got from the Peyton Manning quotes about Derrick Henry and how Tennessee could be a great place for Derrick to continue to play, so that is apparently coming directly from the mouth of Brian Callahan.
You say such dumb things.
Yeah, that sounds like Stilly. I miss this, but that sounds like Stilly. Yeah. Rand
so it's good news. Derrick Henry's coming back, apparently. Brian Callahan wants him back, according to Peyton Manning's last year.
Was Derrick Henry on the Callahan family's Christmas card? That's really the question here, right? Yeah. First of all, like if that was the case, Brian Callahan's been asked about him. He could say whatever he wanted, right? Like, why would he need Peyton Manning to send subliminal messages through Jim Wyatt?
Well, Peyton, I know you're going to be around Derek this weekend in Orlando. I need you to do a little cruting for me. And also,
tell him we love him.
Make sure, by God, when you're there, you make sure you go speak to Jim Wyatt. You make sure you find Jim Wyatt and you speak to Jim Wyatt and you talk about Derrick Henry.
Oh my goodness.
Enjoyed it. It was a nice tapestry woven together, Scooby-Doo styled yesterday by Jared.
Yeah, the mystery machine with Jared. Yep, that sounds about right. I feel bad I missed it. I apparently he also had, he had Mad Dog. I need to go back and listen to that. That's got to be high entertainment. Yeah, I mean, we asked Callahan about Derrick Henry. Was his quote about Derrick Henry that he gave to us any, like, less, like – emphatic about like him liking Derrick Henry than what Peyton Manning said?
I don't think so.
Right. So like what's the benefit? You know, hey, Peyton, look, man, look. Now this guy for TitansOnline.com, okay?
Yeah.
He probably has a Dodgers hat on, okay?
Visor.
And by the way, I mean Peyton probably knows Jimmy for
real. Oh, I'm sure he does.
Yeah, I'm sure he does anyway, but you know. I'm trying to play out the whole like the conspiracy here. There's always got to be some scheming that goes on.
There's
right?
always got to be some scheming. I appreciate it. I mean, I guess the one thing you could say is, I mean, Peyton Manning was around all these guys all weekend long, and Derrick Henry did talk about how there were some recruiting pitches tossed his way from some other players. So maybe Peyton just threw his name into the hat, and instead of recruiting for, like the Broncos, the team he played for, or the Colts, the team he played for, he's like, you know what, Brian Callahan. Got to go get you back at the Titans, man.
Cali. Got to recruit for Cali. Yeah. It seemed to me like a thing that you're asked about it. And it's like, yeah, I don't doubt that Peyton believes what he said.
Oh, yeah.
Makes sense.
Look, I mean, Brian Callahan, he may be really intrigued by the idea of bringing Derrick Henry back. I have no idea. The Derrick Henry part of this, I have no idea which way it's going to go. I mean, I am fascinated to see here in about a month when free agency begins what the market for him looks like, because we read it off yesterday. It's not just him. There are a lot of running backs out there. A lot of running backs out there that are going to be available in free agency. And where exactly does he slide into that at age 30 with the skill set that he brings to the table? I think everybody who watches him closely, I think, believes that he can still play. And could still play at a pretty high level. Maybe not the same level as he was a few years ago, but a high level. I don't know. I don't know what the interest level is going to look like for him. I don't know what the interest level from the Titans to him is going to be. Like, is Rank Arthon may be resolved to move on and bring in somebody else? I don't know.
Well, like this texter said, Callahan is using Manning to strong hand Rand to get Henry back.
Maybe
is
so.
Did Stilley get into that possibility?
I don't think so, but maybe.
Since we're just making this a Stilley thing, Austin from Clarksville asked, what are your thoughts on analytics? Are you as against it as Jared? No, that's the funny thing about Jared is he becomes pawpaw when it comes to any analytics. No, I mean, I like analytics. I think sometimes it's a little overdone, and sometimes, the Pro Football Focus grades are stupid.
Sometimes AF, I think I've said. It's okay to kick a field goal. I do believe in that.
I would agree. I would agree with you.
At least try the field goal, you know?
Yep.
Or, you know, a two-point conversion from the nine. You might want to might want to kick it there.
I got 7 2-point conversions, and I'm going to use them all. Hey, Dan. Oh, my God. He's so huge. I can't argue with him.
Maybe that's what it is.
Look how huge that
dude
is.
Maybe Dan Campbell knows that he's got all the job security in the world. It has nothing to do with winning. Nobody's going to fire him. Right. Nobody's going to step and fire him. He's too big.
Exactly. I mean, that's probably – Vrabel thought he was safe. Like, who's going
to – Keep taking penalties. I'll go for two back from our own 45.
Vrabel thought you had to wrestle him and pin him to be able to fire him, and he was wrong.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will be joined by Jason Lloyd from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on Bill Callahan coming over from the Browns to the Titans. What kind of a loss is that for Cleveland, and what kind of a gain is it for the Tennessee Titans to have Bill Callahan on staff? All that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.